Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Coromandel International Limited Q2 FY23 results conference call hosted by Axis Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone telephone. I now hand the conference over to Ankur Periwal from Axis Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Katie. Good evening, friends, and welcome to Coromandel International Limited's Q2 FY23 post-result earnings call. The call, as usual, will be initiated with a brief management discussion on Q2 and H1 performance, followed by an interactive Q&A session. Management team will be represented by Mr. Sameer Goel, Managing Director, Mrs. Jayashree Satagopan, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Mayur Gangwal, GM Finance. Over to you, Sameer sir, for the initial remarks.
Yeah. Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks, Ankur, for organizing the conference call. I'm audible, Ankur?
Yes, sir, you are.
Right. So, just to start off, global economy, the global economy is expected to slow down from 6% in 2021 to 3.2% in 2022 to 2.7% in 2023. It is facing several challenges: inflation higher than witnessed in several decades, tightening financial conditions in most regions, and resulting calibration of monetary policy. I think the main issue is the strengthening of the dollar against major currencies, and the Russian-Ukraine war, all weighing heavily on the global economy future trend. A bit positive news on the agriculture side, the food price index has declined to 136.3 in September of 2022, sharply lower than the record high of 159.7 in March. The main reason is at least some exports are happening out of main agriculture market, Ukraine. Also, the commodity prices, which were high globally, has seen a softening. Coming to Indian economy, most of you would know Indian economy is progressing better through the growth rates, which though the growth rates have been revised downwards, and India is likely to remain the fastest growing large economy in the world. The tax collections have been buoyant, reflecting all-round performance of the economy. The headwinds are rupee depreciation, high inflation, and of course, energy prices. These need to be watched. The good news is, the Indian agriculture continues to be a bright spot. India received the fourth consecutive year of good monsoon. Southern monsoon was 106% of the long-term averages. South and central part of India, where we operate, received excess rainfall, while north was irregular but got adequate. East had a huge deficit. The crop acreage in Kharif was at 1,103 lakh hectares, 1% down prior to the previous year. Here also, cotton has done better, but obviously there's a deficit in paddy, mainly as a result of the less acreage which happened in the eastern part and UP part. The northeast monsoon is expected to be normal and with good reservoir levels, currently at 108% of last year. We do expect the rabi season to be good. Coming to the fertilizer industrial performance, the global supply of key commodities improved during the quarter, and the industry has witnessed softening trends for major raw materials. The only place where we expect some hardening to happen is ammonia. A lot will depend upon how the winters are there in Europe. Domestically, the fertilizer demand has remained strong, supported by good monsoons and favorable policies by the government. Coming to the quarter, DAP and complex industry primary sales volume was up by 11%. Current year was 64.6 lakh metric tons, while last year it was 58.5 lakh metric tons, and mainly as a result of higher imports of DAP. DAP and complex fertilizer post sales, which are actual consumption, went up by 6%. Currently was 67.2 lakh metric tons versus 63.6 lakh metric ton last year. As I mentioned before, major raw material prices witnessed a downfall trend against the all-time high. The NBS rate for Rabi for the full year 22-23 has been approved by the cabinet. Subsidy for Rabi season will be the tune of ₹51,875 crore. For year-to-date, DAP and complex fertilizer industry primary sales volume were up by 15%. Current year was 119.1 lakh metric tons vis-a-vis 103.4 lakh metric tons last year. DAP and complex fertilizer industry post sales, which is consumption sales, were marginally down by 1%. Current year was 103.67 lakh metric tons versus 104.3 lakh metric tons previous year. Coming now to Coromandel's performance. Like you have seen, Coromandel delivered a robust performance during the quarter, registering strong growth in turnover and profitability. With the agricultural environment remaining favorable in most of its key operating markets. Normal crop sowing coupled by favorable policies from the government helped. Coromandel registered a revenue growth of 65% during the quarter and 62% for H1, which was largely led by higher subsidy and MRP in the nutritional business. Other businesses did well even on volumes. Coromandel ensured that agri inputs are made available to the farmers in its key operating markets and promoted the use of balanced nutritional, including organic fertilizer, to help rejuvenate the soil and farm productivity. Specifically on the Coromandel nutritional segment performance, the nutritional and allied business, which includes our specialty nutrition and organic, revenue increased by 73% during the quarter and 70% during the half year. Company specialized nutrition and organic products registered a very good growth both in terms of turnover and profitability. We now introduced in the liquid fertilizer segment, which is the first in the Indian market, an Aquamis calcium during the quarter. On the sales front, in quarter two, DAP complex volume was at 12.4 lakh tons, 11% higher than last year at 11.2 lakh metric tons. For YTD, DAP and complex volume was at 19.7 lakh metric tons versus 19 lakh metric tons last year. Manufactured DAP and complex volume was higher by 19% during the quarter and 6% during the half year of last year. Imported products was lower by 30% during the quarter and down by 14% during half year of last year. Company market share in quarter two was 19.2 and half year was 16.5. Last year it was the same for quarter two at 19.2 and 18.4 for half year. In the complex segment, market share for quarter two was 28.8%. Last year was 26.6. and H1 was 28.4 versus 26.3 against last year. This is on the post sales. SSP quarter two sales was 2.43 lakh metric tons with a growth of 8% over last year. And for the half year, it was at 4 lakh metric tons. Market share for the half year was at 14.3, which was down from 16.1 last year. Mainly on the offer of quarter one. Our commercial team have been abreast with the latest development in the global markets and have ensured timely availability of raw material to ensure continuous production at the manufacturing plant. During the quarter, our DAP and complex plants operated at 107% capacity and at 99% during the half year and produced 2.6 lakh metric tons of fertilizer during the quarter and 17.16 lakh metric tons during the half year. Phosphoric acid production during the quarter was again at an all-time high of 1.2 lakh tons, and H1 was 2.3 lakh metric tons. Progress on our key capex are as per plan. The work on sulfuric acid project is progressing well and will be commissioned as per schedule. We have initiated a desalination plant at our Vizag plant, which will help to improve our operational flexibility going forward. To further enhance SSP facilities, the company is increasing the granulation facility. A new facility has come up at a plant in MP Nimrani, which is added to this value. We have also revived a Pali plant, a hospital plant, and also we are manufacturing in our Kothari plant. Progress by our technology team on new product development like nano, liquid, customized fertilizer is as per our internal plan. With these initiatives, we would continue to promote balanced nutritional approach and support the farming community. In fact, we have successfully done drone trial with our liquid specialized and liquid fertilizer in the market, and they have been well accepted by the farmers. Coming to crop protection. Crop protection business registered a growth of 1% in revenue for the quarter and 3% for the year. Increase in key raw material costs and price challenges due to higher production of mancozeb impacted domestic business to business and export business. Domestic formulation witnessed a very good growth with positive traction from the new product launches which we have made this year. And in a single year, we have exceeded our full year target. The business has received total of 5 patents during this year. These are unique product combinations which has been developed by our own R&D team, and this will augur well for our crop protection business as we come. The business is building a rich product pipeline backed by strong R&D capabilities and is partnering with global investors to further strengthen its product offering. On the manufacturing side, the CPC plant operated at a capacity utilization of 53% in quarter two. Last year was 77% and 56% during the half year. Last year was 78%. The main reason for this was we had to slow down our production on mancozeb due to the stocks which we had. However, this has not picked up with the softening of raw material prices. The Ankleshwar plant has had a very high capacity utilization and we are expanding the capacity. Work has set up on a new multi-plant for the manufacture of fungicide and Ankleshwar, which has been progressing well and is expected to be commissioned during the year. As I mentioned, for specialized nutrition, we have successfully done drone spraying trials in the farm field in crop protection also. The business would be scaling up usage of drones during the remaining part of the year. Our retail centers operated very well during the quarter, focusing on providing all-round agri solutions, including products from advisory and mechanization service. Business has improved its operation efficiency and leveraged technology to reach out to the farmers. In quarter two, which has a record, 94% of our stores have been profitable, and retail has operated with negative working capital. As part of our digital transformation journey, Coromandel has strengthened its digital data center initiatives, which includes creating unified data platform on cloud, developing automated dashboards, and building advanced use cases for the business. It is also, created enough data for our manufacturing sector center. The company has taken significant steps in the last 1 year in the adoption of business intelligent dashboards. Salesforce productivity tools and robotic automation process automation has improved the process efficiency. With the expectations of normal northeast monsoons and higher reservoir levels, Indian agriculture would be a bright spot. With the strength of our key operating markets, Coromandel will continue to ensure timely availability of agri inputs to the farming community through our dealers and our retail outlets. Coromandel, with its diversified presence across the value chain, will continue to provide balanced nutrition and integrated pest management solution to maximize farm productivity. I'd now like to hand over to Jayashree for the company financial.
Thank you, Sameer, and good afternoon all. I will now provide updates on the company financial. In terms of turnover, the company recorded a consolidated total income of Rs. 10,145 crores during this quarter and Rs. 15,927 crores during the first half. The numbers for the corresponding period last year is Rs. 6,166 crores for quarter two and Rs. 9,852 crores for the first half. The company has registered a growth of 65% during the quarter and 62% during the half year. The increase in revenue has been mainly on account of higher subsidy and MRP realization in the fertilizer business, driven by high RM cost. Nutrients and allied businesses contributed to 93% share and the remaining 7% coming from crop protection business for the quarter. And for the half year, it was 91% and 9% respectively. Subsidy non-subsidy share of business stands at 89% and 11% during the quarter and 87% and 13% during the half year. During the previous year, it was 83% and 17% during the quarter and 80 and 20 during the half year. As far as the profitability is concerned, the consolidated EBITDA for the quarter was Rs. 1,058 crores as against Rs. 744 crores last year. And for the first half, it was Rs. 1,744 crores as against Rs. 1,129 crores last year. In terms of the breakup between subsidy and non-subsidy business, it's 78% and 22% during the quarter and same for the first half. During the previous year, it was 71 and 29% for the quarter and 72 and 28% for the first half. Net profit after tax for the quarter was Rs. 741 crores in comparison to Rs. 519 crores for the corresponding quarter last year and Rs. 1240 crores for the half year against Rs. 857 crores last year. On the subsidy front, during the quarter, the company received Rs. 3,866 crores. Comparative figure last year was Rs. 1,671 crores. For the half year, the total subsidy received is Rs. 4,002 crores and the previous year it was Rs. 2,163. Subsidy outstanding as of November was Rs. 4,176 crores vis-a-vis Rs. 1,698 crores during the previous year. On the interest front, during the quarter, company incurred a net interest expense excluding Ind AS interest of Rs. 13 crores vis-a-vis interest income of Rs. 8 crores in the same quarter last year. For the half year, company earned a net interest income of Rs. 8 crores versus 20 crore interest income in the previous year. Company maintained its surplus funds of almost 2,374 crores in board approved securities and these have been earmarked for specific capex and growth related investments. Short-term borrowings of Rs. 1,279 crores were taken to bridge the higher working capital requirement. Our company's balance sheet continues to be strong. During the quarter, the company received AAA stable rating by India Ratings and Research, a Fitch Group company, and a short-term debt rating at Ind A 1 plus. Company's long-term credit rating by CRISIL continued to be CRISIL AA plus positive and the short-term rating at CRISIL A 1 plus. During Q2, rupee was extremely volatile and traded in a very broad range of 7850 to 8195. Coromandel followed a prudent conservative approach of hedging the forex exposure, thereby limiting the impact of currency depreciation. We thank you for your interest in Coromandel and joining us in the con call today. We shall open the session for question and answers.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Thank you. The first question is from the line of Tarang Agarwal from Old Bridge Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening, and congratulations for an extremely strong set of numbers. I have a couple of questions. One, on the manufacturing of your phosphatics and manufacturing of SSP. As we go forward, can we expect you to probably cross your phosphatics manufacturing volumes north of 3 million tons and SSP volumes north of 7.5 million tons? Considering the capacity constraints or the debottleneckings that you might have. So that's number one. Number two, if you could give us some trend on how phos acid prices have moved for you in the past and what was the price for the upcoming period. Thank you.
So thank you, Sarath, for your question. As regards the capacity for manufacturing of NPKs and SSP, your question was whether we would exceed the 3 million tons and 7.5 lakh tons of capacity that we have. Definitely with the debottlenecking that has happened and the use of different sources of raw material, we believe that both these are possible. As far as the PA price trend is concerned, we have seen the prices shooting up from last July onwards, July 21 onwards, we have seen an uptick. Last quarter, for instance, the PA prices was almost $1,715 per metric ton. The current quarter, it is $1,175 per metric ton. So after a continuous increase in the prices, we are seeing the raw material prices are cooling down and we expect this trend to continue.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of, Himanshu Benani from PL India, that is from the Sridhar India. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my questions and congratulations on a good set of numbers. So I have two questions. Number one is on the margin side. So despite we are seeing a lower contribution of the unique.
Excuse me, this is the operator, Mr. Benani. Can you speak a little closer to the phone? We are unable to hear you.
Now, is it audible?
It's audible. Thank you.
Yeah. So, sir, despite we are seeing a lower contribution of Unigrades to the overall volumes, while the increased volumes in the trading side of the business, and what I understand is that some of the competitors have actually posted the numbers citing taking some inventory loss from the carryover inventory from the last year also. And due to the volatility into the RM prices from 2Q to 3Q, so there might be some component of inventory loss also in that. But despite that, we have like posted this sort of EBITDA per ton on in the manufactured volumes. So just wanted to have a sense on how the margins profile are and how should one actually look into the EBITDA numbers going forward. And the second question was on the capex side. So, sir, any sense or color on the capacity enhancement into the complex fertilizer side? As in, we have just alluded that we are already working at optimum utilization. So, going forward, is there any plans for enhanced capacities into the complex fertilizer side? Thank you.
So just firstly, you talked about the margins. Obviously, when we look at how we do our planning, we look at whichever grades are giving us good return, depending on the raw material and the conversion costs and the market as per the crop demand, we go for that. So that is how we balance off, how we look at things. That's one part of it. And the good thing about Coromandel is we have a lot of grades to choose from and we can promote them in various types. You said we did more trading volume. We did not do more traded volumes as far as NPK is concerned. I've actually highlighted that we have done less given the high raw material, you know, given the high prices which had happened. But at the same time, we did manufacture some of the fertilizer which we do more, and that's why we enhance our manufactured fertilizer. One of the good things was we were able to source all the raw materials on time, and therefore our manufacturing team were able to manufacture, and as Jayashree alluded in the previous question, we were also able to improve our efficiencies much more. You want to answer the capacity?
The other thing, Himanshu, that we need to also look into is the backward integration that has been undertaken, which has been of tremendous help in terms of the value capture at our end, right? Now, I will talk about the CAPEX. The CAPEX plan for the year was, you know, close to 800 to 900 crores. We are tracking well on it. The projects are going well. Currently, in the plan, we have some debottlenecking CAPEX, but at the same time, depending on the market conditions, we are also exploring what could be the future capacity creation. For instance, we have set up a liquid fertilizer plant, and that is currently getting fully operational. We are also looking into setting up in the coming year possibly another liquid fertilizer plant which could be used for, say, a nano DAP, for which we are currently going through the regulatory approval processes. So there is work that's going on in the businesses to look at capacity augmentation and future capacity creation.
Right. And ma'am, was there any sort of inventory loss component which is into the reported numbers?
I think you are referring to the Chambal comment.
Right.
Yeah. So as we do not deal so much with DAP, we don't have any inventory related loss. The way the government had set up the subsidy for DAP was anything that is manufactured during the year, you get a 50,000 rupee of subsidy, and anything which was in the carry forward inventory of prior year was about 33,000 rupees of inventory. In the last quarter, on the carry forward inventory, we had recognized only 33,000, and therefore there is nothing to come and impact Coromandel's books this year.
Got it, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manish Mahawar from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening everyone. First question is in terms of NBS rate, what the government has announced day before yesterday. So how do you see the rates and our action in terms of MRP in the marketplace? And how do you see the for the full year subsidy outgo for government as a whole and the payment to the companies?
Yeah, Manish. The NBS rate that have been announced by the government was very close to what has been announced for the Kharif season.
Right.
And the raw material prices have been coming down. So at an appropriate time, we believe that the government will be re-looking into the NBS rate and may come with a downward correction. Having said that, when the raw material prices come down and the subsidy at its current level, there is also a responsibility for companies to see how we work through the MRP. And those actions are being contemplated by Coromandel as well.
Okay. But currently what the government has announced the rate and the FOS asset price, right, so how much maybe possibly do you think MRP will be come down in the in this next 3 months? Maybe the government will take time to reevaluate this number further.
That is being worked out, Manish. So possibly we will get a clarity on it in the next 1 or 2 weeks, and accordingly the actions will be taken in the market. As regards subsidy, your question was how is the government disbursing? There is an additional outlay which has been approved by the cabinet. Even in the month of October, we have received somewhere close to 2,700 crores of subsidy from them. And we hope during the next couple of months also, they should be in a position to process and pay the subsidy outstanding to the companies.
The government has been very good at this.
Okay, so by March maybe 23, do you think the situation will, what, because the balance sheet as well as the subsidy outstanding has increased, right, in terms of because of debt number, so it will normalize by March 23 balance sheet time?
I think so.
Okay.
Because
and the second,
you've seen that the government has paid out the subsidy money almost all through the year. This time also they have taken approval from the cabinet. And I do not see a reason why subsidy would not get paid.
Okay, understood. And second question, in terms of production capacity, which the earlier question also asked about, so what type of, because right now, how much of a production we can do, because we have done a lot of debottlenecking in an NPK plant. So what is the optimal production we can do in the existing capacities? In terms of NPK, I'm talking about. Or a DAP.
We can continue to do even more production. A lot also depends on how we take our annual turnaround. This depends on number of factors. It includes the demand in the market, but more importantly, you know, when we look at the safety of our plants and equipment. So that is something which we'll take a call closer to the time when it's a non-season.
Okay, but any number you can say, maybe 32 lakhs ton or maybe 35, what type of number we can manufacture on an annual basis?
I think we should be able to do between 32 to 33 lakh tons. As Sameer mentioned, there are two factors that could come in. One is a mix that you adopt. There are going to be certain products where the throughput is going to be much higher.
Right.
And if you're going to do too many products and you do a changeover, that is going to impact. There are certain products where the throughput would inherently be lower. So one is the component of mix. The second one is the timing of the ATAs, right? During an annual turnaround, normally between 15 to 30, 35 days, the plant could be shut down, depending whether it is a fully integrated plant or it is just a granulation plant. And therefore, these also come and impact our capacities. So long and short, between 32 to 33 lakhs is possible. But if you have to take a call, say I want to do an ATA in March vis-a-vis April, then there could be a lower production. So that call, normally the manufacturing team takes about a couple of months before. So that's a flow of also looking to manufacturing capacity.
Okay. And last one in this same question. In terms of granulation plant, right, maybe the brownfield expansion, how much time do you think we will maybe take or we are waiting for again raw mat sourcing for basically the final plant?
Yeah, we have mentioned in the previous calls that it is going to be important for us to tie up the sourcing as we look into further capacity expansion. So the business is looking into seeing how we can get our PASA secured as we think about additional granulation capacities.
But anyways, it will, once you set up a plant, right, it will take around 18 to 24 months time to come on stream, right, in the plant?
Definitely.
Okay. Okay, sure. That's from my side. And thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bharat Seth from Quest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity, Sameer and Jayashree. Sir, coming on this crop protection, despite, I mean, we have been introducing new and we have been taking on earlier old product moving out, this time also our growth is not, I mean, compared to industry is very low. So where do we see a sustainable growth and what are the factors that has affected the growth?
Yes.
So firstly, our domestic growth has been very good. You know, we have, when you compare across the companies, our domestic growth in quarter two has been very good. This is despite the fact that we had what is called excessive rains, and therefore it stopped some of the what is called application to happen during the quarter because of excessive rains. And like we said, we are obviously concentrating on our high margins and new products, and therefore we have also done downsizing of some of the other products where the margins have been an issue, but this requires investment. So domestically, things have been well. There has been pressure, like we mentioned in our call, on Mancozeb, which is, you know, has had added capacity, plus also, you know, across both in the export and the domestic market, primarily also got to do with the high prices which were ruling, you know, what we could do. And that has impacted some of the things. The good thing is the raw material prices on Mancozeb is also coming down, and we are putting up this thing, and therefore again from September onwards we are seeing a quite a good upswing. Yeah, Yashi, you want to add anything?
Yeah, as Sameer said, the prime reason for the muted sales is our exports and B2B market, mostly driven by Mancozeb. That is also because of the high RM cost. And the decision from a business was not to produce more and sell at a much lower cost. Having said that, in the last month or so, the raw material prices have eased, and therefore it gives an opportunity for additional Mancozeb sales during the coming quarter. On the domestic front, we had almost, on the formulation business, we had almost a 29% growth year on year, and the new products that have got introduced have been doing extremely well, which has also helped in sort of balancing the margins overall. As far as CPC is concerned, there are two, three things which going forward should help the business. One, the new multipurpose plant that is being constructed at Ankleshwar should be ready for commissioning in January this year, coming year. This will be manufacturing through three technicals, azoxy, picoxy, and cyclophysmol. This should complement and also help the heavy, reduce our heavy dependence on Mancozeb. Apart from this, the business is looking into further new technicals which have become off patent in the last few years. They've identified in the first list another 10 AIs, out of which the R&D team has come out with their DOTs for 6 of them. So the business is looking at a new proposal for setting up a side multipurpose plant, and the proposal should hopefully come in and get cleared in the next 2 to 3 months' time. All these actions in terms of sprucing up the AI portfolio will help in the B2B business, which is both exports and domestic. On the formulation front, the business is continuing to look at introduction of new molecules. This year, already 4 have been introduced, 1 more in the pipeline for the coming quarter. And the business has also got patents for 5 combination molecules, which also is for the first time. Apart from this, about 23 odd registrations have been successfully obtained for the global markets, which also includes some formulation-related registration. While the current quarter has been soft, we think some of the actions that have been taken up should help get a much better portfolio mix for crop protection and also address some of the concerns on the over-dependence of Mancozeb. Apart also looking into repo penetration in select Southeast Asian markets to go on an aggressive B2B and also possibly on a B2C.
Jayashree, currently Mancozeb contribute how much to the total revenue? And second question related, this 5 new patent which we got it. So have we already launched the product, or when are we, if not, then when we will be seeing those product launching?
Okay, good question. Mancozeb currently is about 45% of our total revenue. It used to be 60-65%. It has come down to some extent, but still exports is heavily dependent on Mancozeb. As far as the 5 newly patented molecules, the patents have just been received. So we will be working on the formulation and we should see the product launches in the coming year.
So in Rabi season, do we expect, or it will be again next year only?
This will be next year. In Rabi season, we will be coming up with another Me Too product for launch.
Fair. And how much are these specialty nutrient and organic is contributing, and what, if you can give roughly around the size of that business and how do we see the prospect of that?
Yeah, specialty nutrients and organic as a business has been growing quite well. We have seen the business growing in almost 25-30% on a year-on-year. And currently, on a year-to-date basis, there will be about 250 odd crores in terms of revenue.
Okay. And on SSP side, any color would like to give, or how is the profitability vis-a-vis which was earlier with now new granulation facility coming up?
Sorry, can you repeat the question, please?
SSP. On SSP,
SSP business is doing quite well. One of the issues which we had was to increase our capacity, which we have done by reviving. We had, like we had told, we had mothballed a couple of plants which we have revived. We have also taken some additional facility from Qatari, and we are expanding the granulation facility. The granulation facility not only helps to improve the use of SSP, but also helps in terms of, launching our new products like Grow Plus, which is now doing extremely well and has a better margin profile. One good thing which we should have mentioned is, which is happening from the government, is on subsidy on freight. Now, this will help us to supply almost pan-India, and especially the big markets on the east, where currently we are not tapping. So that, or supplying regularly. So we will be doing that also. So SSP, we continue to see it grow. Even the government is promoting SSP against the imported DAP, especially in the markets of north and west, as a better substitute. Because from a farmer's point of view, it not only gives phosphate, but also gives other required minerals, which is very useful for the soil.
So are you done with your questions?
Yeah, I think 2 questions at a time, please.
So we move to the next question, which is from the line of Ranjit from IFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for taking my question. My question is on the profitability of the fertilizer segment. We have been outperforming our guidance for quite some time now. So whether there are any thoughts of the EBITDA pattern guidance revising upwards? And the second question is that we have also seen a bit of hardening in the prices of the rock phosphate. I do believe that we have been having the super efficiencies, and probably a part of that, at least on the rock phosphate front, do we see a hardening of prices might lead to a bit of pressure from the conversion or the benefit that we have been getting due to the backward integration? Thank you.
Thanks, Ranjit, for your questions. On the profitability front, we had earlier guided on EBITDA per ton of about 4,500 or so for the full year. Given the way the margins have turned out for the first half, I think it would be reasonable to expect that the margins will be better during this year. Somewhere between 5,500 rupees per metric ton or something, which I think would be reasonable. On the rock phosphate pricing that you were mentioning, we should also note that the prices across the commodities, except for ammonia, has been softening, and we are seeing a similar trend in rock phosphate. So I don't see a reason why the prices for rock phosphate would go up. DAP prices are down, phosphate prices are down. We are seeing softening in the rock phosphate as well.
Would we be able to for the guidances for this year or even for the next year? Do you see a fair bit of comfort?
I think the guidance is for this year. As we work out the business plan, we should be in a position to guide for the coming year.
Sure, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Gupta from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening, and thanks for the opportunity, and congratulations on such a strong set of numbers in the current quarter. Sir, two to three questions from my side. So first, we start with on this current phosphate prices. What are the contractual prices for phosphate? And though Jayashree mentioned that government may look at further reducing the prices or the subsidy, but I think that the subsidy rate which has been announced so far are already fixed for the entire Rabi season. And if the market prices are remaining or are hold on to the farmers at the current level, do you see that the margins at current level in DAP and NPK fertilizer will be much better than what we have already seen in first half?
Yeah, Rohan, the phosphate prices, as I mentioned, for this quarter is about $1,175 per metric ton. It has come down from $1,715 in the last quarter. So as I was mentioning, while the cabinet has gone through the NBS rates, and we have a circular which states it is for the Rabi season, when there is going to be steep reduction in the prices, we believe the government may look into the NBS rates and could come with a revision during even the Rabi season, but we'll have to wait and watch. Second, as the phosphate prices have just got finalized for the quarter and the raw material prices are coming down, the company has also been having inventory for continued production. So there is going to be some level of high-cost inventory which has to get liquidated, and to that extent, that will also sort of compensate for the margins. The third one, as I was mentioning a little while ago, with RM prices coming down, there is also responsibilities for companies to look into how some of the benefits can be passed on to the farmers who are our end consumers. So that is being worked out, and probably in the next couple of weeks, as we go through the cost proposals, we should be coming up with some MRP-related action.
Ma'am, can you quantify or some numbers a little bit that high-cost inventory which we have of the raw material, what can be the impact on profitability? And I think that all will be visible in the Q3.
Yeah, mostly all this should come into Q3, and this varies, right, across various raw materials. There could be some on the phosphoric acid. We have some rocks which are being purchased to secure for a longer term, and then there is also certain quantum of sulfuric acid. We are seeing the prices in all these commodities coming down. So it is a mix between various raw materials, and I'm hoping that most of it should get exhausted in the coming quarter as well, in this current quarter as well.
But irrespective of the high-cost inventory, if I look at closely, as you also mentioned, that the government reduction in subsidy rate is on DAP is hardly 1,500 rupees per ton. And if we maintain the prices to the farmers at the same level, it means that even the previous raw material which we are carrying is enough to maintain our old margins. However, now the phos acid which we are procuring right now is going to have a significant improvement in margins. So didn't get that. Will the inventory losses which we are talking about can be anything significant, because the subsidy has not come down sharply and the farmer prices will remain same?
I don't see a significant reduction in the margins. However, having said that, this is also the value gap that you capture when the phosphate prices are very high, right? Because when you do your own backward integration, you do your manufacturing of phosphate, there is a value capture that happens between you buying the rock and converting into acid, vis-a-vis buying acid. When the acid prices come down, it's good in a way, but at the same time, the value capture in terms of getting the rock and processing will also come down. That is the reason why I'm saying, and the MRP corrections that could be possible. And you know that we are not mostly into DAP, we are into NPK. And there are different grades of NPK that we manufacture and sell. So when you look into a combination of all of these factors, I'm saying that that could sort of, to some extent, moderate the margins compared to what we have seen in Q2. And overall, in a year-wise, I think we'll still be better than last year.
Sure, ma'am. Second, in terms of the margin guidance which you gave, as we have already seen in first half solid numbers, so definitely at 5500 rupees EBITDA per ton may not only hold on, or even we may exceed that number as well. That's what looks like for next year. Any sense that do you see that these are the sustainable margins which one should be looking at going forward, even at the phos acid coming down and the backward integration which we have now? So do you see that these are the sustainable margin per ton level?
I think so. Over the years, you've seen that the margins per se have been getting better with a lot of efficiencies that have been built in the plants, and the plants operating at a higher capacity, and the debottlenecking efforts are also helping to spread the fixed cost better. Margins should be definitely in the range of 5,000, 5,500, slightly more. I think those are good numbers for us to look into.
But like Jayashri said, we'll go through the planning process and we'll be able to tell you better for next year.
Fine enough. Sir, on our agrochemicals part of the business, we have been highlighting that we are open for growth, and even also have been very aggressively looking for inorganic growth opportunities also in that segment, and even in other businesses as well related to agri. Do you see that we are having enough options, or we are getting enough such opportunities which you may like to pursue, and we may see some inorganic growth opportunities as well in the agrochemicals part of the business, or in terms of you want to build the business towards the contract manufacturing and intermediates manufacturing or CRAMS model, you would like to increase significantly in the agrochemicals part of the business over the next couple of years? How do you see that business panning out?
So we have had a detailed thing with McKinsey, which is a long-term strategy. And we are looking at each of the avenues which you had talked about, right? And this is not just for crop protection, but we will also look for any other agency businesses which are there. But it needs to make business sense to us. So that is something which we have done. We have already seen that our Dare Venture has invested very well in 3 startups, including we have taken up this time a drone company manufacturer. We have taken up share there. And part of the reason is so that we can then leverage them for our own operations for the benefit for the farmer, which is both for the crop protection and the nutrition side of the business. So we'll continue to look for those opportunities.
Thank you.
Thank you. In order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the queue, we request you to please limit your questions strictly up to two. We move to the next question from the line of Akshat Mehta from Sameeksha Capital. Please go ahead. Akshat Mehta from Sameeksha Capital, please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah, so congratulations on the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. The first one is that, what kind of a sustainable benefit that we can get in our EBITDA per ton on account of, the recent phosphoric acid expansion that we've done, as well as the new sulfuric acid and the phosphate, backward integration that we're going to complete in next year and in the next 2 years as well. So what kind of a benefit that we can get in EBITDA per ton because of that?
So the benefits of PA has already been factored in.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the that will get commissioned next year, I had indicated earlier this is more to do with securing our raw material so that we can avoid a high fluctuation in the procurement price. There would be benefits in terms of our steam that gets generated, so on and so forth. The primary intent of putting up a sulfuric acid plant was to ensure that our imports are coming down and we are not subject to huge volatility. So I think it can help with some improvement, also help us with our negotiating power. That's the way one should look into the effect capacity that is getting added.
Thank you, ma'am. But, under the normalized environment, I know the primary reason is the raw material security. But you also have some kind of an arbitrage in pricing, even if the raw material prices are in a normalized environment and not elevated as they have been in the past. So there must be some kind of a quantifiable benefit that you could have received on account of on account of just putting up the backward integration facility.
There could be some, because said normally this comes from the power and the steam generation.
So quantify that.
I don't know the number right away with me, Ashur. Probably we can take it up offline and you can give us a call. I'll have the numbers with me.
Okay. And my second question is on Nanodep. As you said, that it is still in the approval process. What kind of margins and what kind of, growth are we seeing in Nanodep and the application of Nanodep in the fertilizer industry? And, your competitor already has a patent, which he has taken 3 months back for Nanodep. So how will that, create a threat to our company in terms of the Nanodep that we are going to release?
I think there are a couple of companies who applied for approvals for Nano DAP. So each one would be following a different process. And once we get all the approvals, then the manufacturing distribution will start. We have done the trials in the field, and we find that the results are quite encouraging. Normally, these are in liquid forms, and therefore it is a foliar application. We'll have to see to what extent this would sort of substitute the granulated DAP. But our estimate is that it could be anywhere around 15-20% over a long period in time. Initially, the adoption could be lower, and over a period in time, based on the input that comes from the field, there will still be improvisation, because these are the very, very early stages of these new products that are being introduced.
So, ma'am, I assume that there will be the Nano DAP which you guys have been testing and you said the full process will be of a different grade.
Sorry, actually, we're not able to hear you.
Yes.
Yeah. Am I audible now?
Yes.
So, ma'am, my question was that the Nano DAP that you are, testing and, has been given for the approval process, will that be of a different grade than your competitors are using?
There is nobody else today who has come with Nano DAP. There is Nano Urea that has been manufactured and distributed by IFCO.
Right. But ma'am, IFFCO has already achieved, IFFCO has already been granted a patent for nano DAP 3 months back. So what
you are trying to say is the processes are different, entirely different, so there's no issue at all. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prashant Biyani from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Ma'am, while you have quantified that the high cost inventory will be exhausted in Q3, but specifically at the start of Q3 or during the start of Q3, how much of phos acid and rock high cost inventory will be there for how many days, if you can quantify in terms of number of days?
I don't have those numbers right away with you, Prashant. Typically, phos acid could be for 20 to 30 days, right? It also depends upon the mix that we are using. And the rock could be for slightly or longer period. Because if you don't know how the phos acid prices are going to be, you cannot predict the rock prices. Therefore, typically rock you hold for, because you will not be in a position to import. That's been the normal case when the raw material prices were going up. Sensing that there could be some moderation in the prices as we went through August and September, we have consciously looked into and sort of optimized and reduced the inventory for rock, which typically is for a longer period. So the inventory that we are holding are not at the same level that one used to hold when the raw material prices were going up. It is lower. While it is lower, since the prices are coming down, you will definitely see some impact.
And ma'am, would the strategy be to reduce the MRP after we liquidate the high cost inventory?
I think that's what we have been looking at. I don't have an answer. We look at after the liquidation of high cost inventory, or it could be like, well, on an average, we will be able to achieve a certain cost proposition, and therefore, is it better to pass on the benefit to the farmers? So that's something that is being considered by the management.
Sure. And ma'am, just a bit on a longer horizon, with the kind of initiatives that we are taking on crop protection, organic and specialty nutrient, do you think that the incremental growth from these three segments will be able to give us decent incremental growth maybe next year or FY25 onwards, so that we don't feel the impact of lower volume growth in the core complex fertilizer business?
Prashant, the way we are looking into each of the SBUs is they will have their own growth path and trajectory. There is opportunities across all the BUs. Obviously, CPC or SND and organic have several white space opportunities as well. For instance, in CPC, we can look at the Indian market. We can look into global market, both for B2B and B2C. There are opportunities to look into sort of a contract manufacturing. On S&D, more of liquid fertilizers come in with the water shortages that could impact. There is a much more opportunity out there. Organic, again, is a very, very sought-after product, and we've seen volumes as well as revenue during the year. So these will have their own aggressive growth plan. At the same time, there is opportunities for the fertilizer business, that will also have its own growth. For instance, between last year to this year, the SSP growth has been pretty good. While SSP is much lower in terms of cost compared to NPK, given the high prices that happen for DAP, there has been a good offtake of SSP. And even in SSP, we are looking into converting most of the powder into granulation. There is value-added SSP that we are looking into. So each of our businesses are looking into how they can plan, how they can grow, and grow profitably in each of their areas. So that focus would continue. And Sameer mentioned earlier, apart from the existing SBUs trying to grow, there are going to be focus areas in terms of how we even use technology to aid the farmers in improving their productivity. We have been in the last year or so investing into agtech companies. We have done 3 investments so far. All of them are very promising. Primarily the drones investment that we have done in Daksha in the last quarter, we think is going to be very strategic for Coromandel, because with the labor cost going up, more of liquid applications coming in, whether it is in crop protection, specialty nutrients, the usage of drones is going to be helping the farmers in terms of getting the better efficacy as well as reducing the cost of input labor. So we will be exploring multiple opportunities across the existing businesses and adjacencies to enable consistent growth within Coromandel.
Sure. And lastly, ma'am, for the nano fertilizers or organic or specialty nutrients, how many seasons or years of demand generation is required at the farmer end? And we have been trying to do this since when?
So what we did was, for our specialty businesses and organic, we already got an agronomist team set up, which is basically an expert marketing team which works with the farmer. And they work on specific crop types. Obviously, it is a concept selling, but now the farmers, and including the fact that we can reach them with digital media, are adopting this very fast. So we do see a very faster adoption. In fact, our strategy here is to move more away from trading, more into manufacturing, so that we can also do the value capture and at the same time upgrade our offering to the farmers. For example, you know, in sulfur, we used to sell, we were the pioneers in lignite sulfur, but now we have moved to a much more better product for the farmers called Sulfur Max. We also have Boss Max associated. So we have limited our sales of bentonite sulfur, which has become generic. So we keep doing this to ensure that, you know, adoption is very fast. And I believe that our agronomic team, aided with the Nutri clinics which we have in the key markets, you know, Coromandel is very much, and our retail outlets, we are very much geared up for a very fast introduction. Yeah? Thanks.
Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for taking your time on a Friday evening. But it's been a very interesting and challenging year, last 6 months, especially given the international crisis which is there, especially with the Ukraine war. But I think your company, with what we have done in the past and with our diversified portfolio and our direct contacts with the farmers, both through our retail outlets and with our NPP clinic, you know, has done very well with the storm which is there, which is impacting across the industry, and have been able to deliver. I think given our farmers' focus and the new products which our R&D team is developing, plus our application, plus our advent into AgTech, and we have seen reality there, it's no longer just a dream. We will continue to support the farmers in our key markets for improving the productivity, and hence the company will continue to do well. So thank you very much.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Axis Capital, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.